Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. So on this show, I chat to a real mixture of people, some with huge audiences and years of experience, and some who are wise for their years or just starting out. And it's been important to me to have a podcast that offers you a full spectrum of adulting so that you know that it's okay for you to be your messy, misfit self. And today, I'm joined by Chrissy Capatis, who is an actress in training and a full-time self-love warrior. Chrissy and I are going to chat about eating disorders and recovery, self-love and self-worth. And I wanted to put that at the beginning of this show just in case anyone needs a kind of trigger warning that we are going to be talking about eating disorders. Thank you for joining me, Chrissy.
Having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, your sound just dropped in and out. I just want to make sure that we've definitely got you. Try that again.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! We've got you. Fab. What does adulting mean to you? Let's start how I start all these conversations.
I was thinking about this like all week. I was like, what am I going to say? But it hit me today, I was just in my head and then suddenly it hit me. For me, adulting means being able to take responsibility for yourself and your feelings and your thoughts, but in that also being able to be your own parent and therefore being able to be compassionate to yourself. Because I think for me, when I'm acting out from a child place, it's because I'm pushing my needs and my wants and my all of my stuff onto other people and projecting all of my stuff outside of me, when I instead should really be just being kind to myself and being like, it's okay, you can feel how you want. So yeah, that's what it means to me.
I love that. And like I said, wise beyond your years, right? Like, it's taken some of my clients who are in their 50s and 60s that long to get that, right? That long to get that parenting ourselves is what we're here to do, right? And like, once, you know, it reaches a certain point and our parents, we are no longer our parents' responsibility. Like, we have a connection to them and that's, you know, and ancestrally, and whether or not you maintain that connection, it's always going to be there. We've always got some kind of connection, and it's our responsibility to take on that role for ourselves.
That's the thing. I think I feel really grateful to have been taught that young, because I think it wasn't an easy lesson to learn, and I'm still learning it. I'm by no means an expert, like, oh my goodness, at all. But I think having that little seed of knowledge is like helps so much, and it's a journey. And I think, yeah, because I was taught that when I was in treatment for my eating disorder, and I had no understanding of, I'd never heard that before. I just was completely struck dumb. But I think I was introduced to the concept of self-love very early on in my treatment, and that was like, oh my god, what, I can love myself instead of hating myself? That's a thing. And then I realized recently that also goes hand in hand with being your own parent. I didn't realize that before, but I'm seeing more and more now that self-love doesn't just mean one thing. For me, it also means being able to be my own mom as well. I don't think I would have learned that if it wasn't for Emmy Brunner and everyone at the Recover Clinic. So shout out to them. Thank you.
And I think it's really important to highlight what adversity does for our personal growth, right? Because when we're in it, it's just shit, right? There's no other way of describing it. It's like when you're in whatever version of adversity you are going through, whatever version of hardship, struggle or challenge, it can feel like it's the end of the world and that you're never going to get better and that it's too hard and that you don't have it in you and you don't have that energy or whatever. And then afterwards, it's a gift, if you're able to recover, it's a gift. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. I think if you'd said that to me 5 years ago, I would have snapped your neck, but I would have just lost it because, you know, I grew up, I had not the easiest childhood. I was an abuse victim growing up, and I was just, when I was, I think, late teens, I was so angry, and so I was so angry, but didn't realize I was angry. And I think any kind of, like, when I went into treatment, especially, I was just this little ball of fire. And I think if anyone said, oh, you know, you'll be grateful for this when you come out of it, I would have been like, shut up, what are you talking about? This is horrible. But yeah, absolutely. Like, whatever you heal from, you know, no matter what it is, the knowledge and wisdom and the peace you find as a result of the healing is just, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's not, no one deserves any kind of trauma. No one deserves like any kind of suffering. And it's really important like to highlight that, but it's not about deserving it. Like, of course no one deserves to suffer, but the strength you gain from healing does transform it into a gift if you do heal from it. And I can certainly say that for myself. I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, like in treatment, I was taught very early on to connect with my inner child and to give her what she didn't get growing up and to give my teenage self what she didn't get growing up. And now being able to, not all the time, I still have moments when I'm completely disconnected from me and I'm not able to think kind thoughts towards myself. But when I am, being able to just be like, you know, I love you, baby. We've got this. Like, it's you and me. We've got this. I mean, I don't think I couldn't have fathomed saying that to myself in 21 years, but now I'm 25 and I'm even being able to say that to yourself once in a lifetime, I think is worth living it.
So, and how old were you when you found yourself in recovery, or how did you end up in recovery?
I was 20. So I'll give a bit of backstory to like how I got sick and when treatment started, because that might make a bit more sense. So I was a big girl growing up my whole life. It was a result of the abuse, because food was my only comfort, really. I didn't have anyone to speak to about it. And then when I was getting bigger, a lot of the abuse started being towards my body. So I grew up hating my body, thinking that being fat was a bad thing, hating myself. And because it was like I was getting kind of criticized on all these different levels, like not just my looks, but my personality. And I was being bullied at school. So I just grew up thinking, right, I'm just fundamentally wrong. I'm just not right. And then when I was 20, I was in uni, which was in itself just completely against everything that I wanted in my heart to do. But I went to a very traditional school. I was pushed down that career path because it was like there was no other option. I was never taught there was an alternative. So I went to uni and I just completely fell to pieces. I was in an abusive relationship as well, like a really unhealthy, toxic, codependent relationship. And it was like at that point, I was just pushed to my limit. And obviously I didn't know what was going on, but I remember having this really clear thought when I was, when I had just turned 20, and it was that summer. I thought, right, my life has gone to crap. I'm going to do what I have always, I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to lose weight because I've been told from the get-go that that's what's wrong with me. So I'm going to fix it and I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to stop feeling so I'm going to stop feeling this pain that's been with me for so long. So one thing led to another, and that summer I went on a crazy exercise diet thing and I lost a lot of weight, and without realizing what had happened, I got sick without even knowing it. And I think I was so caught up in the, you know, because people were, it was horrible. People were complimenting me for what I had done. And at the time I was like, oh my God, this is great. I'm finally getting love. Because the biggest lie that I believed was that I wasn't lovable and therefore being thin would make me lovable. And I was getting all these compliments from also very unwell people, or people who were ignorant. And then it was only until I had this thought, I remember thinking, one day I'm going to have to start eating normally again. And that thought just terrified me. But at the time I just pushed it down and thought, no, it's fine. Just enjoy being thin. It's fine. And then I went back to uni after the summer, and that's when I started binging and using exercise to purge and laxatives. And at the time, again, all I thought was that my binging was the problem. I couldn't understand, you know, what's wrong with me? I was so happy. What's wrong with me? I'm ruining my one chance at happiness, my thinness. Mm. And I was freaking out. And then my mum came across this clinic called the Recover Clinic that used to be in Kensington, but now has moved. And she put me in touch with Emmy Brunner, who runs it. And I had an assessment with her. And I remember sitting with her and she asked me, has there ever been a point in your life when you were happy? And I said, yes, absolutely. Last summer when I lost all that weight, I was so happy. And she said, no, Chrissy, that you weren't happy. That was your eating disorder making you think you were. And I was like, what? And then I remember her saying to me, like, she asked me to describe what my problem was. And I said, I've been binging, blah, 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 blah. And I described that I was trying to make up for it by exercising. And she said, you're bulimic. That's not BED, that's bulimia. And I was, again, mind blown. I was like, I'm sick? I couldn't quite believe it. But then I went home and then I thought about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to try treatment for a few days and see what happens. So I went back and it became very clear to me very quickly that I was very ill and had been for a long time, but had never realized it. And I also learned very quickly that my eating disorder had nothing to do with food. I mean, obviously one of the main symptoms was food and eating and weight obsessive thinking, but it was... For me, it was to do with the fact that I had grown up never being taught that I was worth loving. I hadn't been given the love that I needed. And, you know, that very sad, unhappy little girl grew up to be a very sad, unhappy teenager who then grew up to be a sad, unhappy adult. And, you know, God bless them, because 2 years and 3 months later, I recovered from my ED and a whole load of other things. And my life had just completely changed. And like I said, I still have a lot of work to do, but now that the eating disorder is out of the way, the illness is out of the way, allows me to go deeper into my healing. But yeah, that's basically what happened on the eating disorder side of things.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's a hugely powerful, I think, for people listening who may recognize a part of your story in theirs. And, you know, my story is very, very different in so many ways. And at the same time, you know, I spent a lot of my time at university where a deeper level of control had been taken from me, or I needed a way of feeling more in control of my life. Spent a lot of my time there binging and throwing up and then going to OA meetings where I would compare myself to all the skinny people who had anorexia rather than bulimia and then think I wasn't a good enough bulimic. And so it's really important for us to share our stories and because so much of eating disorders are secret and hidden and it's okay for us to talk about recovery, and it's triggering for people for us to actually talk about being in it, being in the thick of it. And I think so many people find that so difficult. And at the same time, I think part of adulting is just taking ownership of the reality and taking ownership of the stuff that we are experiencing. I often say to my clients, if it's in your field, if it's showing up in your life, in your reality, then it's yours to heal. It doesn't mean that it was your fault. It doesn't mean that you did anything to deserve it. It doesn't mean anything at all, but it does mean that it's here for you to heal. And very often you're doing the work which will then have a ripple effect both backwards and forwards in time and heal stuff for our ancestors, for our family, for our future generations, but for all sorts of people.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like, that's what I was saying at the beginning about taking responsibility for yourself and being your own inner parent. It's got, like I said, like, it, no one deserves the pain they went through. Like, I didn't deserve what I went through as a little girl. Like, you know, and no one at any point deserves to be hurt. But the thing is, for me, like, one of the main issues I had to work through, and I still do, I'm still working on it, is that not, like, being, like, taking responsibility and ownership of my life. Because, you know, when you're traumatized as a child, especially, and when you've, if, I mean, for me, like, as an abuse victim, survivor, I very much remained in a child mindset. So I never developed properly. Like, I never learnt a healthy detachment, for example. Like, so I still experience extreme attachment to people in a codependent and other unhealthy ways. And for me, part of being an adult is working through the reasons, the stuff that underlies why that still happens, so that in future I'm able to make healthy attachment and therefore healthy detachment. Whereas when I was in treatment, obviously I still get attached, but it was 100 times worse. Like, when I was, you know, a few years ago, and what was even more painful was that I was getting attached to people from because my inner child was screaming, and it was the most painful thing, but I had no idea what was happening to me. I was just in agony. And that's the thing, when you're in the thick of it, you know, for me, I didn't understand what was going on. But yeah, that's the thing, no one deserves that. And I think there's so much shame around being in a child mindset as an adult. There's, I feel like for me, and I've seen in a lot of people, there's so much shame around not having grown up, not being independent. I'm not independent. I still live at home with my mom. But that's how the course of my life has gone. Like, I needed to work on other things before I can become financially independent, before I can move out, blah, 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 blah. So there's no shame in it. And there's absolutely, like, no one, I just can't say it enough. No one deserves the pain that they've been through. But it is so empowering to be like, you know what, I deserve, not only do I deserve a great life, but I can have that because my happiness is not in the hands of other people. And even though for me, my inner child feels like that is the case, because, you know, when I was growing up, my happiness was in the hands of other people who were telling me, you know, you're not worth anything. But, you know, as a child, like, because of how a child's brain is, they can't think in an adult way. They can't see the bigger picture. But actually, being an adult and the way your brain changes, you're able to see, actually, no one's in control of me. You know, no one has my power.
So when I hear you talk, I can hear a lot of really big ideas and also explanations for why things transpired the way they did, or what was going on a brain level, or where the development did or didn't happen, and all of that kind of stuff. Did learning that stuff, I presume that was in treatment that you got the kind of that awareness and that education, how did learning that stuff help you?
I think that's the thing, because it's one thing knowing something on an intellectual level, and it's an entire different story, like, on accepting it on an emotional level. I think it helped me because it was like the first stage, like, understanding something, developing the tools to deal with it, working through it.
And there isn't a done, just so you're clear as well, as someone who is further down the line and who works with people every single day who are finding new layers of themselves to heal. Like, actually, that's what adulting is, right? Like, actually adulting and being alive and being a well-rounded, kick-ass and kind human is about really understanding that there is no done, that it isn't a one and done thing, that you don't just go, oh, look, because that comes from the mentality that we are broken and to be fixed. And you were not broken. You just had cracks where there was an opportunity for you to learn and discover and go into yourself and heal.
Absolutely. That's, oh, when I, so when I first started treatment, I had a very, obviously very black and white way of thinking. And I thought that graduating from treatment meant that I would be perfect and life would be great. And I would never, like, I would never be suffering with any of the things I was dealing with again. How wrong I was, but absolutely, because, you know, you heal in it's like an onion. You never stop peeling it. Like, there's always more layers. And I think, yeah, I love that analogy. You're absolutely right. I think adulting is accepting that healing is a lifelong thing and embracing that and being able to let go of the shame. Like, I remember talking about this with a friend of mine the other night, and she said, you know, we deserve to accept the fact that we will always have stuff to work on. And you know, and I was like, of course, we're human. There's no such thing. You can't be happy all the time. Like you said, there's no broken and fixed. It's just, you know, healing the wounds that were done to you, and also more wounds will happen. So healing those as well.
Yeah, and I think it's also, like, in your case, there was trauma that you can remember that was very specific. And for a lot of people listening, they're like, but I didn't have any trauma like that. So, you know, and there's shame around not having specific bad enough trauma as well. And I think it's really important to just, for us to be clear on trauma, oftentimes not being anyone's fault. So you can fall in a playground, behind a bush where your parent was just on the other side, you know, absolutely paying attention and loving you, but didn't see or wasn't able to get up quick enough and get to you. And you might have in that moment made it mean that you have been abandoned and that you weren't worth. Like, there's so much, there's so many complexities to trauma and what causes trauma. And even though some trauma is absolutely somebody's fault, some trauma isn't. Yeah. And that's okay too. And that's the reason that we get to carry on unraveling and returning to love again, again, and again.
Yeah, that absolutely as well. Because I think when I was in treatment, like, I compared myself massively, you know, oh my God, XYZ has suffered worse than me, XYZ. It was endless, endless, endless. But I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert in any field. I can say that now. But I feel my hunch is that if it has hurt you and has given you a negative message about yourself, it is trauma. No matter what, exactly. Like, it could be something that you don't even think is trauma. Like, oh, you're falling down or whatever it is. But like, I get really frustrated when people say, oh, what has she/he/they got to be complaining about? You know, it's not, you know, it's not like they, and I'm like, hang on a minute. How do you know how do you know how badly that's hurting them or not? You know, so I think, you know, even something that could seem so everyday, yeah, of course can be traumatic. There's no, everyone's trauma is individual. I think
that's the most important thing to remember. If there's someone listening to this who is realizing that they would like to get treatment or would like to inquire about getting some kind of support or help for disordered eating, what would you tell them? What's your kind of advice or recommendation?
I would say the Recover Clinic, they saved my life. There's a website for that, www.therecoverclinic.co.uk. I think that's their website.
We'll find it and make sure that we put a link in. Yeah.
They offer like full-time treatment. They offer treatment programs. So basically, depending on your financial situation and also how much free time you have, you can do Mondays to Fridays or like a couple days a week. They have one-to-one therapists, but they can also put you in touch with other treatment programs that they know of, other therapists that they know of. And I think Emmy, who runs the clinic, made a really important video. She has a YouTube channel, which I'll send you the link for as well. And she said she made a video for people who don't have the financials aid to be able to afford treatment, because sadly that is a reality, and I'm aware how privileged I was to be able to afford it, or even my mum for being able to pay for it. But she said that there's so many resources that we don't even think of, like books, online communities, in-person communities or gatherings. So yeah, I'll link you that as well. But I think if you are looking to have treatment and are able to, the Recover Clinic is amazing. And any of their therapists that work there or they can put you in touch with, I'm sure, are incredible.
So, and because we have a global listenership, I think I'm more interested in not necessarily a specific place, and I totally understand that the place that you went is always going to be the place that you recommend. But if you're in the place of thinking about it but are scared that they might take your control away from you or tell you that you have to, or you know, any of those things, was that your experience? What did you, was there a level of autonomy that you were able to retain?
Oh God, well, in my treatment personally?
Mm.
Yeah, because I think partly why it worked so well was because it wasn't about the food. Like, they let me get on with what I needed to do while we were working on other, but everyone's different, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't at risk, for example, like severely underweight or something. So, but I think, you know, so I can't speak for anyone else because, you know, everyone's different, but any advice, I guess I would say you don't deserve to be in pain. You just don't deserve it. You don't have to have this thing with you. And like, I know the feeling of safety, quote unquote, that it gives, but you deserve so much better than what an illness can give you. Like, you deserve actual happiness and actual safety, not the, you know, weak substitute that an illness tells you you're going to have, because ultimately an ED wants to kill you, because it stems from a place of not feeling good enough or worthy as a person. And I would just say you deserve all the best in the world. Please don't think that you're not good enough, and even if you don't, know that you deserve to believe that one day. So
thank you. That's so powerful and so important. You wrote a really, really beautiful poem, which you sent me when we first met online. And I would love to share that in the show notes as well. So I'll make sure that we put a link to that, because I think it was just such a beautiful and powerful piece.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I hope if anyone listening, yeah, I hope it speaks to anyone as well. I've written other ones, which I haven't recorded, but I will try and put them out there as soon as possible.
So if people want to come and find you and keep up and follow, you know, your work and your progress and other bits and pieces, where's the best place for them to come?
So my Instagram, which I never know what the tag is. So it's Chrissy, Chrissy _ Shroomie, Shroomie.
And we'll make sure that there's a clickable link in there in the show notes to make it just really easy for people as well. Can we just finish on an I'm an adult, but?
I am an adult, but I have so much more work to do, and that's okay.
Thank you. You know what? I'm gonna go with yours as well today, because I am an adult, but I'm continuing to learn every single day, and I embrace and adore the idea that I will never be done.
Yeah, no such thing.
Thank you so much for coming and talking with me today.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.